listening to Magic From Wherever I'm At with your host, the magician, time traveler, and charmer, D'Artagnan.
All right, welcome to another edition of the podcast. I'm D'Artagnan, and today we're going to finish up our series on the book The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield by touching on a few aspects from the latter part of the book. And specifically, he talks sort of in the latter stages about the muse. He sort of gets a little he starts to delve into the supernatural and into, you know, it inspiration being divinely created. Now, I am definitely not of that mindset. I find it very incongruent, actually, that Pressfield would go that route. I mean, I think at some point in the book he does admit to believing in God. I'm not sure what his personal stance is or what religion he belongs to or whatnot. But I find it very incongruent that he would go to that place. If you remember back to the first part of this, Robert McKee, who did the intro, actually disagreed also with the conclusions that Stephen Pressfield had sort of come from, which was that the inspiration was divine. And McKee, probably thinking much like myself, I imagine, he made the interesting connection that if this is within us already, meaning it is natural, then for it to be supernatural doesn't seem to make much sense. The inspiration to curb this, to fight the resistance, is internal and comes from within us and is therefore self-derived, not derived externally from some divine source. Then, of course, McKee said he felt it was better that it was naturally also curbed, that turning pro and the inspiration was basically what he called talent. Talent was connecting two disparate things together in a new way, which has also been a definition for creativity. Now, I find it rather stunning that Pressfield fails to make that connection. And also, he talks in great deal. Of course, he's written a lot of books about, fictional books about the Battle of Thermopylae and various other, you know, Greek things. So he's well versed on all that stuff. And in the latter part of The War of Art, he talks of how the Greek way of apprehending this mysterious inspiration, this muse, this magic, if you will, was to personify it. So the Greeks, like, that's how they dealt with the unknown, as they created gods, right? Gave them all names and positions and so forth to make them approachable. They gave them human faces, right? Zeus, Apollo, Aphrodite, you know, Native Americans. They also, they approached it in a slightly different way by turning all that stuff into animals. So you have the hawk, who's a messenger, the coyote, who's a trickster, all that kind of stuff. And so they chose animals to represent the unknown. So everyone was sort of keenly aware of sort of like the forces to counter resistance, which was still a mystery. I find it interesting that you know, that's like such a common thing, is to resort to supernatural when you don't know anything. So, you know, it's just like one more step where you're like, well, if it's naturally derived, why does it have to be supernaturally solved? In any event. So it said, it talks more about fear in this latter section where, and I believe this to be true, which is the biggest fear of a lot of these people have. And I referenced a friend of mine who holds himself back with procrastination. I mean, he's like, the resistance is like got him in a sleeper hold. Pressfield makes a very astute observation when he says that if we embrace our ideals, then we must prove worthy of them. And that scares the hell out of people. You know, if you aspire to greater things, are you going to lose your friends and family? Will they no longer recognize you? If you become a new person, will you wind up alone? Yeah, with nothing to hold on to, or no one to hold on to. You know, he references Van Gogh, who churned out masterpiece after masterpiece, but never sold anything. And then he goes into talking about the difference between hierarchical and territorial ways to approach life as an artist. And he really makes a case for that the artist must operate territorially, meaning he must do it for its own sake, right? He must not worry about the things that come from it. He must do it because he's moved to operate. And this podcast is an example of this. Like, I don't have any aspirations that I'm going to change the magic community by talking about these things and putting people on blast who, you know, who don't measure up to what I think the standard should be. I'm under no false pretenses that somehow that's going to happen. But if I, you know, I do think, because I know already I've changed a few people's minds and cause them to look, because they've never considered it before, cause them to like look at themselves and say, I'm not doing that. That's interesting. Then you've already won. But really, you can only do it because ultimately I'm doing this because I'm holding myself to a higher standard. And that's really what Pressfield is talking about in this this section of the book. And he says that the territory.
I hope you've enjoyed this teaser of Magic from Wherever I'm At. To listen to this entire episode and the entire series of more than 150 other episodes, go over to magicfromwherever.com/podcast. That's magicfromwherever.com/podcast.
Tired of being a trickster, are you not?